stepping out as a solo artist after over a decade fronting one of Australia's most beloved bands would not be an easy task. One might even say it'd be a pretty bloody daunting task, but it's one that singer Hayley Mary has absolutely pulled off with aplomb. Last year, of course, just before the pandemic hit, the now Melbourne-based artist released her astonishingly good debut solo EP, The Piss, The Perfume, which was just a masterclass of 80s rock and pop that spawned singles like A Woman Should and the title track, of course, and it landed on many best of the year lists,
It
as it
did.
should have. So now Mary has returned with a 7-track EP called The Drip, which is an exhilarating and energetic collection of tracks that sees her dig into classic English 60s rock as well as punk, all complemented, of course, by her flair for very hooky pop melodies. So it's our great, great pleasure to welcome to the Tuck Shop this week, Hayley Mary.
Hello.
Oh, there she
How are you
is.
doing?
Can you hear me?
We sure can.
This is so cool. I've never done an interview like this.
We're live as well, so it's exciting to be able to do this. Even though we can't be in the same room together, we're all chatting together, and it feels warm and cozy.
Yeah, it's cool. But I just feel like I could just come in and swoop in on your radio show anytime I want with this link.
Sure,
I
it's
could just
on.
listen to you and unmute and be like, hi, I've got a thought on that actually.
It.
You probably change the link after this.
Let's get stuck into it before we go rogue, on the Zoom links. So you released a phenomenal debut EP last year, obviously The Piss the Perfume, and then straight away the music industry pretty much stopped. Everything just ground to a halt. It must have felt as if the universe had just delivered you like this massive roadblock to establishing your solo career. What did that feel like?
Well, yeah, it's one of those ones where you don't want to get all self-centered about it, but you're like, really? Like, come on. Like, I just worked for like 5 years to work my sound out and get things going, and then this. But obviously, it kind of screwed with everyone, so you can't take it too personally. But I did. That was what the chain was about, actually, on my new EP. It was a little bit of my reflection on just feeling like there was a hole in the world that my dreams fell into. But yeah, what was the question? What did that feel like? Yeah, it was strange. I thought it was kind of a weirdly beautiful time, because it made everyone feel kind of united, but at the same time, it was a lot of sadness about
I
it.
think it was in the
But the
first
same.
lockdown. Yeah, we sort of felt more united and all together at the time, and it's obviously been dragging on a bit now. We're all feeling a little bit jaded.
Yeah, not quite the same feeling now.
No. You
At
had
the
any?
same time,
Sorry, go,
sorry,
Jules.
you go, Mick. But we love, this is why we love doing these over Zoom, because we're kind of all in the dark, just like shooting
Yeah,
questions randomly
just
at one
talking over
another.
each other. Yeah.
But I'll just jump in. So the reception to the EP was obviously incredible, though. So, like, even though it must have felt like the world was collapsing, it must have felt very validating to have this as your first kind of solo output and it be received so well.
Yeah, no, it did, of course. But it's just a strange thing because I guess maybe since like the Jezebels started and maybe had their equivalent time of like putting out our first EPs, like a lot's changed in the music industry even prior to COVID on like how you kind of compare the reaction. And it's like, and so to have no live industry to go out into and get feedback from, that was really strange for me. So it was kind of like, yeah, people are saying good words and it got some radio play and it got good reception, but I'm kind of just sitting in my lounge room and I don't really feel like it's real. So it's been good to start getting some shows on the board.
He's
Is that
hoping.
runs on the board?
Yeah, I
Show
mean,
runs on the board.
Melbourne's sort of open right now, and I'm hoping you can get some gigs going on down there. Of course, you've got the Sydney launch as well at the Rissole Rampage, the Rissole show. I think it was
Yeah,
in
kind of vivid.
September. Yeah. So that
I
should
was
be
like, why'd they
amazing.
call it Rissole? And then I realized it was RSL, duh.
Yeah.
Rissole Rampage. Yeah, got a few shows.
Yeah.
Burger Fest, lots of meaty things. And my launch show, yeah, I do have launch on the 30th of July at the Workers Club in Melbourne. Hopefully Sydney will be open for that we saw one.
Sure. Oh, it's an amazing lineup. We've played some bands from that lineup already, and that's one of the my things that I'm looking forward to so much when we get out of this lockdown is that gig. So I can't wait.
Yeah,
to
it's going
to
be really good.
Yeah.
It's a great venue as well.
Oh, it is. Yeah, totally. And get those Rissol vibes going on. it was only 18 months in between The Piss of Perfume and The Drip, and maybe it wasn't planned to be like that, or was it? Are you planning on sort of doing more singles and EPs instead of a longer body of work? Or, I mean, if you put these two EPs together, it pretty much is an album.
Well, if you put them two together, yeah, it's actually quite a long album. I did record probably an album's worth of stuff, if I'm honest, and I was kind of ready to put that out. And then we sort of, you know, plans are much more fluid these days. I think people have kind of let go of the idea that their plans have to be solid.
Yeah.
And so we just kind of realized that doing a debut album, you know, you only get one. And it just didn't feel like the time. You know, I've got ambitions to go overseas. I was booked to go to Great Escape last year.
Yeah.
You know, I like touring America. I think that there could be, you know, people out there that might like my music. But I'd rather, and so I'd rather put a debut album out when those opportunities like Europe and America and the UK are possible. And also even in Australia, like, you know, I'd like to see some festivals up and going and kind of thing before I just put my debut out. So we just thought, let's just keep the songs coming and you know, get people aware of me, but not blow our load too soon.
Fair enough.
Sorry. That was a bit of a gross way of putting it, wasn't it?
No, no. Let's rewind a little bit. I remember talking to you back before you did your little trip to Scotland. I think it was in 2017, 18, maybe 18, 19.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Yeah.
I can't remember.
And, of course, you went over there for about a year, and it feels like it became a significant time in your life. Obviously, traveling feels like a distant dream now, but the impetus behind that trip and what you sort of got out of it, you know, what do you think back on it now, and how pivotal has that been in sort of your career going forward?
Really pivotal. I've always been a bit of a wanderer, and like I envy people sometimes who have that sense of like coming from a place and belonging, and their identity is really firmly rooted in where they're from, and often that can shape their music and that kind of thing. I envy that, but I've always been like a bit of a soul searching person, and I find traveling really inspiring, and there was something to do with getting out of Australia, and I think the music industry, not so much like anyone in particular, just my whole identity was tied up in the last decade of being the singer of a band, and it was like, who am I outside of this? And when you're in a place where everyone knows you as that, it was difficult to kind of, I knew I needed to make solo music, but I didn't know how to escape what associations people had of me with the Jezebels. So I think, you know, going to a place where I have a heritage, like my dad's Scottish, and kind of finding my roots there a bit, but also losing my history a bit and just kind of free floating around and just finding myself was really good.
You mentioned that, like, you kind of had to leave Australia to establish yourself more as a solo artist, you know, because coming out of such a big band and being a solo artist is always immensely challenging. How have you found that process of finding your sound and establishing yourself away from being just, you know, Hayley from the Jezebels?
Yeah, it's been hugely challenging. I mean, I'm still going through the challenge of it, but because the band, a band provides like a set of abilities and limitations. You know, you've got three in that band, you've got three other players who are really good at their instruments and have great ideas and a lot of opinions, and then they've got their taste, and it's like all of that combined is the sound of a band. When you take all that away, you're sort of really free, and there's something exciting about that, because all the things that you probably wouldn't, you know, the ideas that wouldn't fly in the band, you're like, oh, I can do these now. But then you're like, but how do I do them? And I don't have anyone to help me. And And so it was about finding collaborators and like learning skills. Like I've spent a long time trying to learn things like basic crap, like how to play guitar and like how to record a demo and like just getting sort of, yeah, more self-sufficient in that kind of thing. And it's been really, really rewarding because, well, because challenges are by their very nature. They're kind of, if something's hard, it tends to be worthwhile. But at the same time, sometimes I feel really lonely and like I am an idiot for even trying. But, you know, you just, you kind of have to, because otherwise you sit around and another 2 years has passed and you haven't tried to do those things. And you're like, if I'd have just been trying the last 2 years, I might actually get somewhere. And so I'm just proud of myself for giving it a go, I think.
Oh my God, yeah.
The Drip The Drip is such a strong collection of songs. You know, the sound is so cohesive and now completely identifiable to you, which is a real achievement after just EPs. Do you feel like you've it is cool, but do you feel like you've really nailed your sound now? Do you feel like you've drilled down over the last kind of year and a half?
I think it'll always evolve. Like there's also, it's cohesive, but there's a variety of songs, sort of types and genres that I tend to go to that they aren't all the same. I think what makes it cohesive is like picking the musicians you're going to collaborate with, like choosing your producers well. And then also just the fact that it's a solo artist, which means it's about the voice for me. And it's kind of like, it's rock and it's wall of soundy and it's all the things that I've realized I like by doing them. But it's kind of, it's still ultimately like fairly pop mix of rock. Like the vocals are pretty damn up front. And even like the noisy guitars, they're kind of quieter than maybe noisy guitars traditionally are on noisy guitar music and that kind of thing. So I think that kind of helps it sound coherent because ultimately, you know, there are actually quite a few genres on there and they're drawing from a lot of decades. But then again, that's kind of a pretty normal thing to do these days. So maybe it's not that surprising to people to hear.
Well, we'll just
an 80s song and then a 90s song and then a
we'll wait
60s
for
song.
Your country album next coming up in the country.
Well, I mean, there is a bit of Americana in there.
Oh,
like songs like Boy Called Rock and Roll, or like on my old EP, Holly, that kind of Springsteen-y. I mean, I love, some country actually and a lot of Americana and I guess Australiana, the Australian version of it. That sort of singer-songwritery, storytellery, driving down the highway through the desert vibe. Like everyone loves that.
It's definitely thing for right now as well. They had the Country and Inner Western Festival in Sydney the other week. And, you know, it really highlighted just how many local bands are doing that sort of sound now. And it's great. It's really wholesome. It's really, you know, it opened a lot of people's eyes to a style of music maybe they hadn't even considered.
Well, I mean, actually country music is like almost for like the last 50 years been almost the most popular music in the world.
Yeah.
But it's laughed at by like the kind of alternative mainstream scene. And it's like, no, like it's really good. You just, you know, there's a point, the pop kind of element of it that sometimes people find a bit ridiculous, but that's like in any genre.
Sure.
And then, there's really good country
definitely.
At the roots of any genre, I guess.
Well, we're going to rewind it just a little bit now, Hayley, and go back to your first EP before we go to the second. The Piss the Perfume was the first track you released as a solo artist. It feels like it was a long time ago now. It was like over 18 months. But, you know, already sort of look back at that song and think, you know, do you listen to it fondly now and go, oh, wow, this is really where it all began? Or do you sort of listen to it and go, oh, I would have done this differently and this differently?
No, I do really like that song. I mean, that's one of those songs, you know, as a songwriter you get two sides of the spectrum with songs and then sort of everywhere in between, the ones that kind of just come and are really awesome. And then the ones you have to work at quite hard.
Yeah.
And I've learned, that's one of the things I've actually learned over the years and particularly on my solo journey is how much you need to kind of treat it like a trade or a craft and keep showing up to work, even if the inspiration's not there. But that song was just a gift, like from the muses type thing. So I do have a fondness for it because there's no hardship really involved in it, and I just really like it. It just kind of came out of a dream, a hungover dream, when I woke up in the dappled light of my bedroom, and it just was in my head. So yeah, I'm very fond. It's just an easy song. I don't know why. It just thumbs up where I was at that time.
We're very fond of it as well. We're going to play the Piss the Perfume from Hayley Mary right now. And if you'll stick around, we'll have a little bit more chat afterwards.
Right there was Hayley Mary with the Piss the Perfume, the title track of her debut EP, which came out last year. And she's, of course, released a brand new EP called The Drip, which is out now. And Hayley's on the line. How are you going, Hayley? Is it great to hear that song back after all this time of a year and a half?
Yeah, I just practiced along to it, actually. I got an acoustic show. I was like, I better remember the chords.
So you've officially decamped to Melbourne now after years in Sydney. Is that right? How have you found that shift affecting your songwriting and this project? Did it shake you up a bit? Did it open you up to kind of new experiences being down there?
For sure. Yeah. I mean, well, it wasn't the greatest year to be in Melbourne, but now it's starting to be good. I'm writing with other people. Like, I'm writing with Louis from Con Man at the moment. I've met a bunch of musicians down here. It's been really great. And just going out and seeing shows that are starting to happen again. And like I said, I'm a bit of a traveler. So whenever there's a new environment, I get pretty inspired by it. And I guess it's like a whole new world, Melbourne, which is exciting.
Was the original plan to release an album after the first EP? Or was that something that was moved a bit by everything that happened last year?
Yeah. So, it wasn't 100% locked in, but it was kind of the vibe. And then, we recorded, like probably an album's worth of songs, but I just haven't put them all out yet because I wanted to save some.
Save them up.
Yeah.
It's been 10 years since the Jezebels released Prisoner, which I still think is a beloved part of Australia's indie rock tapestry, that album and whatever the Jezebels have done. How are Nick, Sam, Heather? Do you all keep in touch a bit? Has there been talk of getting it all back together again one day?
Yeah, there is a little bit of talk. I mean, so Nick is a teacher, so he went back and finished his teaching degree.
Oh, wow.
He's a science teacher. That was what he was planning on doing before the Jezebels kind of started touring and taking up all of his time. Sam also went back to study like urban design, I think. Like, wow. They all had kind of these dreams, these sort of other dreams. Yeah. And then, you know, the Jezebels kind of got in the way of them. And when we sort of decided that we didn't want to kind of continue, I guess, feeding the cycle that is required of a band, like the demand for growth and coming up with, you know, new music when you need to keep the momentum and all that stuff. Like, everyone just decided that wasn't really for them. So, it was a little bit to do with Heather's health, but also just, I think, everyone just kind of needed a break.
Sure.
And Heather's now studying at the Con again, which she was doing
before.
Yeah. So she's got a solo piano album out.
Yeah.
And Sam's also got some other musics that he's been working on. And everyone's just been doing their own thing and they're good. Heather's actually quite very well health-wise, which is obviously good relief on everyone.
Yes.
Yeah. So everyone's good, but they've just been, you know, we did 13 years straight just like in each other's hair.
Sure.
And it's like, it's fine to just not hang out for a while. It's fine for everyone. Yeah. But then we have been talking recently because obviously it is the 10-year anniversary of Prisoner and we wouldn't mind doing something around it, but you know, nothing official has been decided. We're just kind of chatting a little bit. about it.
Sure. Well, we wait with bated breath just in case something happens there. I still
keep your ears. I'm hoping. I think it'd be really great for us all.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like I haven't seen you since the residency you did at Lansdowne, where you did like 5 nights in a row, I think it was, or something like that.
Seven
nights in a row. That's right. Yeah. And I went to a couple of those.
I don't know why we did that.
It was amazing.
I had a cold as well. It was horrible. Like far out. Terrible timing.
Yeah, I guess so.
It was really fun though. I love it. It's an iconic venue, and yeah, it was good to have like a different band supporting every night and that kind of thing.
Definitely. I hate to get too political or anything, but with you being one of the people that I really think has been hugely affected. I mean, everyone's been really affected by COVID and the lockdowns and all of the effect to the live entertainment industry. But you've had a real first front row view, because as you talk about in the chain, your bags were packed, your band was ready, you were about to go on tour, and then everything just shut down. And then I feel like the second EP, it's almost happening again. You know, Sydney's now locked out. You can't come up here and play. Melbourne's okay right now, but it's very tricky for live music. How do you feel as a live musician, as a musician, as an artist in this country, trying to navigate how the governments are doing all this, how the payments, the JobKeeper, the JobSeeker, all that sort of stuff? How do you feel they're dealing with it? And do you think they could be doing a better job?
I think I try not to think about what's really going on, because I don't know enough.
Mm.
But I definitely think that the first time more people were willing to put their entire lives on hold to protect the vulnerable, because we didn't have any other option, we didn't have a vaccine, and we didn't want to overwhelm the medical system. But now that doesn't quite fly.
Mm.
And so, and we had a financial support network, some of us, not everyone, but there was options there to keep some people, you know, in JobKeeper or JobSeeker or whatever. Now it's a lot harder. Yeah. So I think the second time round, there's a lot less patience, and I probably also have a lot less patience for the idea of it, because it's like, I think it can sound, there's arguments that people don't want to have. There's positions that people don't want to be the ones putting forward, but like, you can't cripple entire generations to protect the vulnerable either. You kind of have to work out another way of doing it, because you're going to have repercussions that are immeasurable. So it's like, now that we have a vaccine, I just don't think there's any real excuse to stop entire generations' dreams and the economy and everything for much longer.
Yeah, there's a middle ground.
Is it particularly...
Is it
particularly frustrating now to kind of witness the UK and the US in particular opening up, and so you have the possibility of going over there for touring and all that kind of stuff, and that just can't happen at the moment? That must be very, very frustrating.
Well, US, yeah, because I think it's funny how everyone was laughing at them, but then now they're all vaccinated. But not all, but UK, my understanding with them is that they had promised to be opened up, but they're kind of not. And I think the live music industry is actually threatening to sue the government there, because they won't reveal the science that they're using to justify not opening up. Apparently, that's the last I heard, but it might have changed since then. But yeah, no, it would be really annoying, and it would make it feel like the global world we all used to live in is like, now we're going back to like, I don't know, the 40s when Australia was down by itself and couldn't get anywhere and was falling behind in the music. We'll just go back to being like not part of the international music world, which would be a shame. But no, I'm actually pretty optimistic. I tend to try and not think about these things and just try and put one foot in front of the other. And the thing is that musicians, like, they're compelled to do it. So the industry's been through terrible things before, and it's kind of evolved and come out. Like, streaming was pretty heavy, and now it's just an essential part of how things go, and we've evolved to deal with it and even embrace it. So I don't know. We'll work it out. But it's just, yeah, I don't think this model is a permanent solution.
Well, I love your optimism, and yeah, that's all we can do is take it day by day and hope that we can get to a point where we can all be, you know, traveling the world again, seeing bands that we love, and hugging. Hugging is good.
Yeah, hugging's good. You know, the thing about it is like, humans don't just want to survive, they need to thrive.
Yeah.
And surviving isn't enough. And I think people would prefer to be able to take a bit more risk and actually, you know, excel in their lives rather than just kind of subsist. So we need to find a balance. And right now I think we're a little bit erring on an imbalanced position on that.
I think so. Well, Hayley Mary, thank you so much for chatting to us here on the Tuck Shop. Congrats on the second EP, The Drip. It's really such a great warmth to have your voice in my ears as much as possible, and so I can play your EPs you know, over and over again, because yeah, it's just great. And we're going to play Unholy Winter from the Drip, which I think is quite suitable right now, as we're in the grips of winter in this country right now. Is it about winter?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah, this song was written the first day I moved to Scotland, actually, and I was Johnny was playing with DMAs there, in like these winter sessions under Edinburgh Castle. So you can not really get much more wintry. Like, there was a medieval castle and cobblestones, and it was freezing. And I was in their tour van. I'd had a nap because I was really jet lagged. And then I woke up and the bus was leaving for Europe, and I was not meant to be going with them. And I was like, shit, I got to get out. 4 a.m.
Wow.
And I had my guitar and my suitcase, and there was this cobblestone. It was freezing, and there's like this looming castle.
Wow.
And I had nowhere to go because I was supposed to check into my Airbnb the night before, but I'd fallen asleep. And so I was just kind of walking these freezing Edinburgh streets, and I kind of just like heard a beat as I banged my suitcase over the cobblestones and just started singing this melody. And I don't know, it became about other things, but it was definitely inspired by winter at its harshest.
I love that. That's a really great story and a great way to lead into the song. Thanks a lot for joining us, Hayley Mary.
Thank you for having me. Appreciate it.